You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, live from the Right Side studios here in local, state, and national. Man, we're covering down on all the issues, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it is 2:06 p.m., August the 17th. Today is Wednesday. Today's Wednesday, Boomer. Boomer.
Oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Every single time. Oh, wow. All right, it's hump day. You're halfway through the week, folks. You are almost there. You can smell the weekend from here. All right, listen, I'm sitting here right now, by the way, looking up on the big screen here in the Right Side studio, and, you know, the situation with Liz Cheney and all that is just amazing. You got Rudy Giuliani on the other screen being hauled in before a special grand jury about being an election denier. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, good gosh. But, you know, here's the deal. Adversity can breed familiarity. All right, there's a phrase for you. Adversity breeds familiarity. What do I mean by that? Well, I was talking to someone the other day who had just retired after 3 decades of military service. He said he missed it. But more than anything, he said he missed the men and women he had served with. And I made the point, as we were talking, he and I, that military service, especially in hard training or on deployments, it seems to create relationships that run deeper and last longer and form quicker than most. And he agreed. I believe the same thing, though, could be said of virtually any two or more people who find themselves sharing a trial of some kind or a difficult experience or an intense set of actions. Maybe it's a pair of friends or coworkers or survivors or some other shared tough time. Adversity, when you go through a tough time together, adversity has a way of breeding familiarity. But there's another form of familiarity that can stem from adversity. It's the familiarity that can cause you to actually see the real person, when you can look underneath the top layer and see who's really there. The one that you perceive to be one way, but the adversity brought out their true selves. Now, sometimes that can actually be a good thing. I mean, how many times have we heard about heroes who were considered the least among their peers who rose to the occasion and became the reason why a fight was won? I've known some of them. We had one salty older gentleman in my neighborhood who was all of 120 pounds soaking wet when he tried to enlist in the Army the first time. He was rejected, but he came back multiple times and the Army finally took him. He was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor for his extreme actions under fire in Korea. He later became one of the original Green Berets. He even founded the U.S. Army Special Warfare Center. He retired as a full colonel, and aside from the Medal of Honor, he also wore on his uniform a Silver Star, 5 Bronze Stars, and multiple Purple Hearts, the Special Forces and Ranger Tabs, and more. To this day, the U.S. Army Combat Diver School is named after him. It's Colonel Ola Lee Mize, my neighbor, somebody who was instrumental in several things that I appreciated in my life. The guy was rejected for being too small, but he showed who he was under adversity. We learned what kind of man he was when he was tested. In an entirely different kind of way, I learned about my own paternal grandfather when things got hard. See, I grew up spending time running barefoot with my cousins at my granny and granddaddy's house. Granny was the one who always had a fresh Mississippi mud cake and candy in the kitchen drawer. Granddaddy was a steel worker in the mills and very old school. He was hard for me to know as a kid. He was stoic, he was quiet, he was hardworking. He put on his hard hat and left for work every day at 5 a.m. His evenings were quiet, having a cup of coffee and a cigarette out on the glider on the front porch. I'll be honest, I knew him, but I didn't really know him. And then he had a stroke. It left him generally intact, and he had his faculties, but his speech was gone. But that's when I really got to know him. I watched him carry himself still with dignity. And I swear he could make a joke just with his eyes. We would sit on the front porch together. Cigarettes were out by then, but he still liked that cup of coffee. And in that time of adversity, I became so much more familiar with my grandfather. And I wouldn't take that time for anything. But unfortunately, there are also times when adversity brings out a different person than the one you thought you knew, and not in a good way. All is well till the hard times, the danger, the adversity ramps up, and then suddenly the honeymoon's over. I had a guy on my team who was a super soldier during the pre-mobilization at Fort Bragg. We got downrange, though, and the stress levels went up, and the honeymoon was soon over. I relieved him of his duties within 90 days inside the combat zone. It's unfortunate, but sometimes adversity breeds a familiarity that can be downright disappointing. So here's where I switch gears. You know, a lot of times I make a point to get to my point. Political adversity can bring out the worst in some folks as well. Political adversity. Just this past weekend, the Alabama Republican Party passed what they called the sore loser rule. Currently, there's two candidates that I know of right now, one of which is Dean Odell, who ran unsuccessfully for governor, who, having lost the primary, have now chosen to believe they should not take that as the final word in their running write-in campaigns. The state Republican Party's new rule would deny them future ballot access as a qualified Republican candidate for the next 6 years because of their efforts to dissuade the voters to vote for the winning candidate. I get it. It's a sore loser rule. They lost, but they blamed the voters for getting it wrong. Adversity in politics brought out a grudge mentality. But the real political familiarity that I could do without is watching from afar as Congresswoman Liz Cheney just self-immolates, just sets herself on fire, man. It's a political tantrum like anything I've ever seen. During the early stages of her career, I actually admired her work, her quick rise to House GOP leadership, the no-nonsense way she had of addressing things. And then she went down the never-Trump rabbit hole and got lost in some kind of wonderland. Cheney has become the embodiment of political bitterness and know-it-all. The voters don't know what they're doing. She knows best. Why won't they all listen? She knows things. Well, in an effort to wreck her own team, and in order to stop the man who she personally despises, she has assisted in denying the due process to numerous individuals who still sit in detention waiting to find out their fate over what Cheney believes was an armed insurrection that is just simply now referred to in pop culture as January 6th. Her real self appears to have come to the surface during all this adversity. The voters in Wyoming last night, though, they voted her out overwhelmingly, and not just by a little bit, man. The bitter Cheney lost by nearly 40 points, which in politics, that's a tsunami. But rather than realize that she herself had been her own undoing, Liz Cheney gave a concession speech in which she actually likened herself to Abraham Lincoln. She played the martyr card. She denounced the choice of millions of Republican voters as being nothing more than a cult of personality. It was sad, but it didn't stop there, as this morning, Liz Cheney has now announced that in the wake of her loss that she is forming a new Never Trump group whose sole mission will be to ensure that he is never reelected. The assumption also being that this group's efforts would work to that end even if her own party chose to nominate him again. In her own words, quote, "I will do whatever it takes to keep Donald Trump out of the Oval Office," end quote. I assume this means that the bipartisan and completely objective manner in which she has conducted herself as the vice chair of the January 6th Commission is now free to be called into question. Cheney found adversity. Unfortunately, we then found the real Cheney. Proverbs 24:10 says, "If you fall apart in a crisis, there was not much to you in the first place." Interesting. Adversity breeds familiarity, sometimes good. And in the case of Liz Cheney, epically bad. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, it's something to watch, man. And I'm looking at it thinking, how do you possibly go back and sit on the dais again as the so-called vice chair of the January 6th Commission when you have just openly stated that you have now formed a group whose sole intention is to make sure that Donald Trump never gets to run for office again? That, to me, says that you have no longer any objectivity. What you're doing lacks any discretion. You are all in with a bias that you cannot see through. And that's where Liz Cheney is. She's bitter. Adversity hit, and man, we see the real her. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.